FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf.
Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TFYLP episode number 159. Recorded July 10th, Love Live, July 10th, 2015. I am your host, Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Headmaster Dawn.
Hey, buddy.
Natsume Ryu.
Hello, yeah. Everybody.
Jim Black.
Hey.
Hanging up, Chan.
Yeah.
And welcome back to our guest, Travis Landry, once again from East Coast Antiques, Toy Hunter, a lot of PBS shows and stuff. Welcome back.
Always a pleasure to be back on. I love it.
Travis is our guest tonight. We're going to talk to him a little bit about some new things that's coming up with his show, and we're going to segue into San Diego Comic-Con, which is the big thing in the news right now. A lot of stuff that's been unveiled, like the Victorion, the hideously ugly Victorion that a lot of people have seen.
I think she's not.
that's a point of contention that we'll discuss a little bit later on. If you're listening to us live, feel free to tweet us at TFYLP or follow us on our Facebook group and comment on there. Rick Alvarez is kind of watching over the Facebook group and watching and commenting on that. He's going to talk to anybody if they have any questions or comments. And if we find your comment or question relevant to what we're talking about, we'll mention it on the show and read it out loud live. We also love to hear from you, even if you're listening to us on the audio download later on in the week or even watching the YouTube video post recording. Thank you for watching us. It's always a pleasure to entertain you and inform you as Transformer fans ourselves. So let's go into Travis. Tell us where you've been, what you've been into. You've been busy the last few months.
I have been busy. Season 3 for PBS starts in July, but the biggest news, which sucks because I can't really talk about it, I was just at AwesomeCon in D.C., being followed by some cameras filming some new things, which hopefully will take flight in a couple of weeks, so I'll be down in New Orleans in 2 weeks to tidy up some details, but hopefully there could be a new pop culture show coming your way, which would be awesome.
Pop culture.
Yeah, it's going to be everything. Like I said, I wish I could talk about it, but knock on wood, hopefully you'll get all the exclusive details once I can talk about it. But otherwise, Daily Grind with PBS Antiques Alley Season 3 starts, I think, next week or 2 weeks. I don't know. I'm horrible. I should know. But that's what's going on right now for TV talk.
Awesome. If you do the information in mime and we guess it, can you, you know, is that still legit or?
If you guess it.
Yeah, you know, it's like you didn't tell us. You're just making weird gestures and we're just getting it out of there.
Exactly. We'll do like Pictionary or, you know, like charades.
I wish I could talk about it, but my ass would be on the line if I did.
You'd be costing the man his job. You don't want to do that. So.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll just wait patiently, like, you know, for like we wait for the Transformers and stuff. So. Okay.
Now, Travis, you mentioned something about auctions before.
Yeah, that's a huge thing. So there was a show that some of you may know that was on PBS called Market Warriors a couple of years ago. And I teamed up with Kevin Bruno, who's a host on that show, who owns Bruno Antiques, and he's a partner in the larger conglomerate Providence Auction Galleries. And we're putting together a huge high-end toy auction that's going to feature a lot of high-end Transformers, a lot of other high-end robots. And it's going to be set for this coming January in the new year. And we're taking on consignments now, and we're trying to publicize it as much as possible. It's going to be a really big deal, kind of like the first of its kind almost.
Awesome. So if somebody's in the market for, say, a Black Zarek or something, you might run across one of those in that auction.
Oh, yeah. This would be the place to find it. I mean, outside of in-house bidding, it's going to be live on over 5 different auction services. It's going to be live on eBay, AuctionZip, Live Auctioneers, and even a server called ePi Live, which is a Chinese auction site. So, I mean, if you have high-end toys, this is the place to sell it because you're going to get all the money for it, maybe even more than what retail's worth because it comes down only one person can take the toy home.
Yeah, it's that sounds really interesting. I mean, I'm not in the high-end market because my funds don't allow it, but I go for cheapy stuff like this. No. But you know, hey, there are those people out there. I mean, at BotCon just a few weeks ago, I mean, it blew my mind seeing people come up and not even think about it, and they just dropped $5,000 on like 2 toys at once.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there was I want to say it was Battle Gaia and Guard City.
Yep.
And then there was a Galaxy Shuttle in there. And the total price was around $5,000. It's like just shy of $5,000. He sat there. He inspected the toys.
Yep.
Did this number for about 2 minutes and then pulled out a wad of cash and started forking it over. And I'm like,
that's awesome.
It is awesome. And,
well,
if he's listening to the show, you know, dude, I applaud you. I would give anything if I could do that. But
remember, I was there holding Orson's Dino King, and it's
are
like,
you serious?
I
There's
don't
a Dino
have,
King there.
Yeah, I was holding Orson's. It was a gift set Dino King, and he's one of the few Japanese figures I don't have, and it's like.
It was clean and dry too.
The
shells did not have the slime. They were. It was really really nice condition.
This is.
Did you just run for it, Tom?
I can't. It was $1,400.
Oh, that's cheap. Oh,
that's really cheap.
That's wicked cheap. You know, the 1 year I don't go to BotCon is when all the crazy Japanese stuff is in the dealer room.
So I had to. You know,
I think I have a picture.
Of my face.
Let's see here.
You know, and I was supposed to go to BotCon this year too. I was going to be set up with Brett, but I had to freaking film. It sucks. Ugh.
Here we go. Here's a picture of Don just ogling over this Dino King.
That is a split second after Orson told me the price.
Wait, is that Orson from Captured Prey's booth?
Yes, yeah. That's who
go
I was
back
helping.
To that. Go back to that picture. Go back to that picture.
Oh no, that's Headmaster Dawn right there.
No, but no. I want to. All right, go back to that picture for a second.
Okay. Dude, can I say that I thought that was an old photo?
That oh my! I sold him that Grandis last summer.
Yeah.
And he's selling it on me.
Yeah, well, he needed to recoup some costs, some stuff.
Did he sell that Grandis?
Actually, no, he still has it.
I'll buy it back from him. Tell him.
He tried to tell me Grandis. It's like, no, man, I'm good. I got DAG base. I'm fine.
What did he have on the Grandis?
I don't recall right off the top of my head. Let's see here.
Oh, I can't believe he's selling it.
He, believe me when I say he does not want to sell it. He does not want to. It's just one of those things that he had some losses he needed to cover, and you know it just.
Let me check what I sold it for, because I'm serious. I'd buy it back from him.
Let's see here. I took
funny thing that Captured Prey. You know, with their great toys, great prices, and great service.
Yes. CapturedPrey.com, and also Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection while minimizing your costs with MegaToyFan.com.
What are you doing?
Plugs.
Yes. All right. No, I was talking to Massey. He's being
the kid. He's
trying to kill you again, Don?
No, he's just doing weird things at my feet.
I sold him that Grandis for $1,500.
Nice.
I believe that. I don't know. I'm not going
to
quote. He might have sold it since, but
I have to say, I bought my DAG base for $60 mint in box. I'm perfectly happy having DAG base.
Let's see here. I know I have the picture.
I'll have to email him to see if he wants to sell it, if he still has it, because that's one piece I regret selling.
Oh, it was so nice. Oh, that's the galaxy shuttle there. There's the powered convoy.
Yeah. Believe me, for about 2 seconds, I was tempted on that Dino King just because I've always wanted those dino shells, the way it looked, everything. But then I remembered, it's an instructor. It's 5 inches tall.
Yeah.
I can't do this.
Then there's always also this here. I want to share this just because, well, he's a member of the crew, and I got to give this guy a plug. He's selling some toys. While we're selling toys, got to give this guy a plug. Plasticon, he is selling toys. Find Jason Walston on Facebook. Buy his toys. Okay. We've plugged enough there. Yes. But, yeah, it's high-end collectibles. You know, for those of you who are able to do it, I think it's awesome. I would love to be there. And at one time, I have owned a Deathsaurus. I have owned a Victory Saber and Overlord, and I've owned all of those toys, and they're phenomenal toys. I owned them before they were cool, actually. You know, before they really really shot up in value. Some of those toys that were for sale there at the Capture Prey booth, like the big powered, I mean, like Cherry Box. I mean, it's still got the sheen to it and everything. And then the themselves were immaculate. I'm like, wow. Then I consider the price for it, and I'm like, wow, that's like a third of the price of my pickup truck that I drive.
what do you have on big powered?
2,600, I believe.
For the gift set or individual?
Yeah, gift set.
That's not bad. That's a fair convention price.
Yeah. I remember a couple of years ago. I think Alvion know Brad Russell. I know you know Brad. he's really great. He's a really great guy. He actually got a big powered set. I don't remember what he paid for it, but I remember wanting to strangle him for what he got that set for at BotCon. And it was just really incredibly. It was less than 1,000, and it was like just got a powered set, and it's just like, ugh. But I can't complain. I can't complain. All y'all know about my magic Grand Max. So I got it in 1996 for $350.
Wow, that's cheap. That's real. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I got and I got it from the Japanese gentleman that used to come there. Starts with the darn, you know it was starts with the F.
I'm sorry.
The Japanese dealer used to come to BotCon. Starts with the F. Mihiko?
Yeah, Fumiko.
Yeah, I got it from him. Anyway, that's
the one. Whenever I think of Japanese sellers, the first one that comes to my mind is Asuza.
Yeah. But, well, Asuza was with him, I think, worked with him at the time, I think.
Yeah. But, Travis, now, having dealt with auctions and everything, we're talking about high-end collectibles and high-end and specifically Transformers.
Okay.
From your experience and everything, what's the most you've ever seen a single Transformer sell for?
Ooh, a single. Now I have to think about this. Are we excluding the craziness on eBay for when those G2 prototypes hit the?
Yeah, because that's eBay, and and honestly, I know some backstory on the seller, and I kind of wonder about the legitimacy of some of that auction too. So
yeah.
The
most I'd have to say would probably be the a buddy of mine has a Lucky Draw Browning. It's all, I don't know if it's actually Lucky Draw, but it's a G1 Browning in all the gold plastic. I don't know if that's from Microchange or Transformers. I don't know exactly. But it sold for, I think, $5,000 or $6,000, something around that line.
Wow.
Really, really expensive piece.
Wow.
So say, it could be a Lucky Draw then if it's made out of plastic, because the Lucky Draws are actually gold, aren't they?
No,
they don't make them out of
plastic. No, how expensive that would be? That would be ridiculous.
How expensive would that be?
That'd be a very lucky draw.
No, they're made out of gold plastic.
Flat.
Basically it's powder now.
That's what I was going to say, is I thought they were like plated, not like solid gold, and they'd be super heavy.
No, it's gold chrome, vacuum metal chrome, okay. like your standard release. You just don't.
My whole life is a lie now.
Yes.
Yeah. What?
It's just like the cake. It's a lie, you know.
Yeah. It's a buddy of mine in California had one, and he definitely doesn't have it anymore. But it was about $5,000, $6,000.
I think, let's kind of go around the room real quick. And I want to pose this question to the listeners too. If you're listening live, or on the recorded version, what is the most that you have ever paid for a single Transformer? And the question is do you still have it? Let's go to Don. I'm interested to see what he would say.
Okay. If we're not counting like multiple things in a single order, we're talking about just one single
Transformer.
That would be my Blackfire Convoy that I got for $640.
Wow.
Which is the Lucky Draw version, which is probably one of the easier Lucky Draws to get. So that would probably be it right there. And yes, I still have him.
How about you, Natsumi?
You gotta give me a second to always unmute my mic. I think mine, I'm gonna be like probably one of the cheapest people here, is gonna be around $60 to $75. And again, it was on the few things that I actually collected, so it would have been either Human Alliance Mudflap or the Soundwave, which I had to get the Australian version since they never released the U.S. version.
Mm.
And both of which I got at different BotCons.
And do you still have them?
I do have both of them, of course, since I have all of my Human Alliance toys still, and I'll probably have them forever more.
Awesome. How about you, Jim?
My most expensive one would be a Mint in Box Horrible that I got... $130 from I Am Ratchet, and I no longer own it because my life sucked in the winter of 2012, and I sent four large shipping boxes about half the size of me, and I'm a big dude, to Florida to Transformers Land. But I'm slowly rebuilding, a little at a time.
So now you're that horrible that you owned is in someone else's collection, most likely.
I've still got my vintage piece from my great grandmother, so I'm all good.
Yeah,
I just wanted a box for him, was all.
Now, I'm trying to think here. If you were to, I'll ask that question later. I'll ask that after we go through everybody. Hang, what? Oh, go ahead. Hang, what about you?
I guess if we calculate inflation, the most expensive would have been, for $100, I got Dietless.
Oh.
Wow.
But if we're just talking about like amount, it would probably be the Takara Metroplex, like the Generations Metroplex, which I picked up for about $130.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would say after inflation, Dietless would probably be the most expensive single piece I had.
Dietless. How about you, Travis?
Most expensive piece is probably my sealed Browning, which I paid $750 for before like tax and buyer's premium. I got it from an auction out of Pennsylvania.
Which is strange you mention that, Travis, because I actually sold my friend's Browning at BotCon for him because he has a kitchen floor that's doing this.
Really?
Yeah, but I was able to take some of the money and get him Masterpiece Star Saber and Ultra Magnus. Yeah. And so the rest is going to the floor fund. Mm-hmm. So they can stop walking around the middle of the floor.
What were you able to sell it for?
Not really, not gonna say, just because it wasn't mine. I didn't want to talk about it.
Okay.
He had enough left over to get most of the floor fixed and still pick up those Masterpiece figures. So it was a lot more than I would have thought I would have got for him.
Yeah.
A while back, but my Browning's never leaving my collection.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, I would never plan on selling my Browning, but I ended up getting it graded. So I'm curious I'm trying to figure out like what the value would be on it.
So well, I will tell you this, in doing the research to help him out, the last complete one on eBay 3 weeks before BotCon sold for almost $900.
Open?
Ungraded.
Open to see.
I can't remember, but it was right at $900 and it was complete. I just don't remember if it was open or not. But we were sort of using that to judge his. Because Tez was missing two fists and the instruction manual.
Okay.
So his was not complete.
Yeah, because it's so tough when you have something that's so unique and different. It's so hard to put a price on it. So it's almost impossible. So it's like it's tough to say what something's worth.
Yeah. For me, I'd say the single most I have ever paid for a toy, for a Transformer. And not counting inflation or anything like that, is a tie between a boxed G1 Scorpion, a boxed G1 Triptychon, and a G1 Scorponok still in the styrofoam, in really good condition. I gave $300 a piece for those, and because of financial situations a couple years ago, I was forced to part with them. The Triptychon that I had, and actually, ironically, I bought both of them from Mega Toy Fan.
Maximize your collection.
Yeah. Both of them were the nice. I'd had the toys before, but they were nicer than the ones that I'd ever had. And I'd had to sell the ones before for another reason. I'm to the point now where if I buy something that's really expensive like that, I want to keep it. You know, if I'm going to sell anything, it's going to be the small, inexpensive stuff just to clear out room to fit the things that actually maintain value and importance to me. And by value, I don't mean necessarily a dollar value, because I've said it before, and it's been said before on this show. If you collect Transformers for value, as far as a dollar value, then maybe you're collecting for the wrong reason, because you know, toys fluctuate so much in value. I mean, what could be worth? I mean, look at G1 Fort Max. Before it got reissued, oh. I mean, it soared up in the almost what, $1,500, $2,000 range.
Even more than that, like yeah. In 2007, it was really sky high. I mean, some mm-hmm. examples sold for like $3,000.
Yeah,
they were bringing.
And now they're still over $1,000 for a sealed one, but. You know, the prices on those have really, really come down. And like I said, if you collect for a monetary reason, then, you know, it's questionable. I mean, it's up to you, but I find it questionable to collect for a monetary reason, but,
Horrible investment. Horrible, horrible.
I was getting ready to ask it before, and Travis actually wound up touching on it a little bit later. Grading a toy, if you spend a lot of money on a single toy for the specific reason of keeping it sealed or what have you, how do you feel about grading a toy? Let's go back to Natsume. Let's hear her. I'm interested in.
All right. So first off. The only toy I still have sealed out of all my toys is one of those, it's a movie Bumblebee. It's one of the leader classes and it's the exclusives. I can't even remember if it's like second film or whatever. It was one that was the gold, chrome.
It came with the tiny mud flap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the few, that's the only one I think I have that is mint in box.
Revenge of the Fallen, I believe.
I kind of like the way it looked, and mm-hmm. I wasn't really interested in it for, like, the transformation of the toy or what have you. Like, even I have, like, an old Bumblebee statue from the first movie, and I even opened that up, even though right now it's sitting in its box because it looks pretty good in its box. Mm-hmm. But I even opened up that one just so I could look at it. But for some reason, I've always left that one sealed. I just thought that, you know, the allure for that would really appealed to me more if I just never took it out, played with it or anything. And I was just like, okay. And it's just kind of sat there. It's actually behind my radio. Since I'm not at my house, I can't show you guys, but it's the only thing I have that's mint in box. And the only reason is just because I felt like it wouldn't be worth anything more to me playing with it.
I've actually bought a vintage toy before with the intention to open it and then sat there and looked at it. That was sealed, by the way, and sat there and looked at it. I'm like, this thing has been sealed for over 20 years or over 25 years. I'm like, I can't open this. Nope. And then I just display it. You know, it's like, I've got some G2s up here that are sealed right now. And I'm like, there's no way I could open it. So I just buy a loose one.
That's kind of how I feel. Like, if I ever were to pick up, like, G1 or G2 toys, I feel like I would be one of those people who, if I bought something that was sealed, I wouldn't be able to. I would bring myself to do it because I'm thinking to myself, you know, there's fewer and fewer of them because there are some people who, for the nostalgia, want to buy it to open it. And I would be one of those people that's like, but if everybody buys it and opens it, there's going to be none left that are sealed. And I'm like, I need to preserve this for 100 years down the line.
Yeah. Well, I mean, part of it's preservation, but, you know, those people who are closest to me and know me, sometimes I say and do things for sheer shock value. That's just the way I am. And if I were to win the lottery and have like a lot, you know, millions and millions of dollars to just piss away for nothing. You know, I'm the type of person that would go buy a Grand Max and open it up and sticker that sumbitch up, videotape it, and then take it out into my driveway and run over it with my pickup. You know,
don't forget to light it on fire first.
Yeah.
While it's on fire. Pickups, right?
Yeah. Yes. But no, I mean, I don't know. I mean, just preservation of the whole thing. I mean, like I said, I've got some carded G2s up here. I mean, they're not worth a lot of money. I mean, one of them's a carded G2 Windbreaker. I mean, what's it worth? $20 sealed, you know, but the thing is like, it's sealed. It's been sealed for 25 years. It's still in its pristine beauty. and I'm like, I just can't bring myself to open it, so I've got a loose one that I bought. You know,
I'm the flip side of you, Duron. If I buy it and it's sealed, I'm still opening that bugger no matter how many years it's been in that box.
And, you know, and I totally understand that sentiment. You know, I mean, I know many people that feel the same way. I'm interested to see what some of the listeners think. You know, I mean, chime in on your voice. How do you feel about opening a toy that's been sealed for years and years and years? But, you know, being a collector for so many years, you know, I've been an adult collector for, gosh, almost seven now. You know, I mean, I got back, you know, in the late 90s, and here I am now. And some of the toys that I bought back then are now considered vintage, you know, in the early 2000s. You know, I mean, you've got, like, RID figures. I mean, the RID Carr Brothers, X-Bron, mm-hmm. Sideburn, and Prowl. You know, the molds for those we've heard are gone, you know, and they can never be produced again unless they, you know, decide to make the molds. Mm-hmm. So if you have a sealed example, I mean, granted, there's like tons and tons and tons of them out there. But if you have a sealed one, I mean, there's that little bit of thought in the back of your head, man, this thing's been sealed for 20 years, you know, 15 years. You know, do you want to open it? Yeah, but let's get back to the question I was going around the table with. Don, how do you feel about grading a highly expensive toy that you spent a lot of money on?
To me, grading is a slippery slope because it reminds me of Beanie Babies, and we all remember what happened to the Beanie Baby market. It just completely and totally collapsed in and among itself. Well, I don't see that happening per se with the grading. I for some reason it just worries me that you would grade these toys. I mean, if you keep them for yourself, and it's gonna say Trailbreaker is one of my favorite characters, and I had run across an absolute pristine mint in box G1 Trailbreaker, I would probably grade that for myself because I know it would be in that condition forever, and it would be on display, and I would like it like that. But when you're creating this stuff for resale with encores and all this other stuff coming out, it just seems like it's an awful dangerous thing to be doing it from a profit standpoint unless you've got something very rare or whatever the case may be. I just think if too many people start grading this stuff, the loose stuff is going to skyrocket. No one's going to be able to afford it unless an encore comes out. And then you have a lot of people with a lot of graded stuff that will have to stay graded for them to get their money back out of what they paid for it, plus the grading process.
Right.
And it just seems to me that it could be a really slippery spiral into which we have a lot of graded figures that nobody can afford, and the people that have them can't get rid of them because all the money wrapped up in it. It's just, if you do it for your own personal benefit, because that's your character, it's your toy, and it's the physical representation of why you collect, that's fine. But if you're doing it for resale, it's dangerous. It's very dangerous, and it could cause a lot of issues if too many people, too many graded products. But you know, that's just me.
Yeah. I think the most I've ever spent on a non-Transformer toy that was related, Hang Yip Chan actually was holding it up earlier. I had a King Jader from Gal Gigar. I spent $200 on one once, and it was a very nice piece. But yeah, that is.
I didn't spend $200.
Yeah, rub it in. Yeah.
He's out of box and fully stickered as well, Doc. Yeah, Duron?
Yes.
Fully stickered.
Yes.
Check it out. Check out that detail.
I'm going to rip J. Ark off of him and just toss it and make you go look for it. But Going to our Facebook group before we move on, Rick Alvarez said the most he's ever spent on a single Transformer toy would be a Lucky Draw Convoy for $2,500, and he still has it. Orson from Captured Prey, he listed the big powered set, but that's a gift set. But single toy would be Grand Max at $2,250, and he still has that. And going down, James Galtier says $400 for the Toys R Us Godfire Convoy gift set when it was real hard to get years ago. Second would be $150 for a Wilder Minton box.
And Dora, I don't know if you saw it, but there was a Godfire Convoy gift set there in the box. $750.
Oh,
wow. Wow.
That's so expensive for a new plastic.
But it's so pretty. I have him. It's just so pretty.
Yeah. Again, you know, I mean, if you post it on the Facebook page or even tweet it at TFYLP, we'll see what you guys think. Hang, what about you? What about grading? What do you if you were to buy a really expensive toy, let's say you got a Grand Max and it was steel sealed, would you? I know you said you would open a vintage toy, but it's Grand Max, man, and it's sealed.
I would open it. I don't grade any of my toys. I would open it, transform it, play with it. That's me though. I have this.
Set it on fire, run over it with a pickup.
Yeah. So
I would do what you did.
Yeah. So Hing, you would play with this too.
Yes. I see what you did there. Yes.
We'll hurt you later, Don.
Okay.
Play with this too. Should be showing some Boneyard very soon. I'm looking forward to that. They said something about it. I know Rick, you're listening. It was unveiled at BotCon at the thing. So, well, he's listening in. We'll see what he says on that. Jim.
Yes.
What about grading? What's I don't want to get too far off topic here.
Never done it. Don't know too much about it, but wouldn't be opposed to it. But before I moved to Indy here, a fellow that lived across town from me, Iron Ratchet, had quite a bit of stuff that was AFA graded, and it honestly it was a pretty impressive display. You got the way the cases are, and you got a little tag in there like 75 or 80 or whatever. But as far as whether I would do it or not myself, I guess it would depend. Ultimately, I would probably put something in the case for my own personal preservation, but to go through the process of actually having an AFA grade on it, me personally, I wouldn't see the draw necessarily, because I wouldn't necessarily be in it for monetary purposes. If it was something I wanted bad enough to have in a case, chances are I'm wanting to keep it.
So. Yeah. And speaking about the Boneyard, Rick just posted something about it in the Facebook group. It's going to be shown more at TFCon coming up next weekend at TFCon in Toronto, Canada. Check it out there. I'm sure it's going to be awesome to see. Wish I could go. I don't have a passport, so or the money to do it right now. But me personally, I don't want to grade anything. And actually, I'm wanting to get I Am Ratchet on sometime soon to talk about AFA grading, because since he deals a lot in AFA graded toys. But if I were to do an AFA or just grade it, have a toy graded that I'm never going to open, never going to cut that tape or anything, it would have to be something that's really sentimental to me and I already have a duplicate of it. For example, if I were to find that Mint and Seal box, American boxed Weird Wolf, That's my holy grail. It's my favorite character. I already have a Weird Wolf. It's complete. You know, it's my vintage one from my childhood. I don't need another Weird Wolf, but I do want one that is brand new, sealed in the box. I want a case fresh sealed American boxed Weird Wolf. And I wouldn't mind having a Japanese one either if I could afford both. But if I had that American boxed one, I would AFA grade that sucker, you know, because he's never going to get open. Don't need to open it, you know. So I can kind of see both sides of it. I mean, I understand Hing, you know, if you get something and if you can afford to buy it, then you can afford to play with it, you know. So, you know, I can understand the desire and need. I mean, they are toys. Break them free from their plastic and cardboard prisons. But at the same time, for posterity's sake, I do agree with grading things under certain conditions. And, you know, walking by the I Am Ratchet booth at BotCon, you know, and seeing some of those AFAs setting up there, I mean, to see a case fresh,
C1 case fresh,
yeah, G1 Dinobot. I mean, he had like Snarl and Slag and Grimlock up there. I'm like, wow. I mean, these things look like they just got slid out of the box, and it's like perfect.
Some of the stuff he gets is actually slid out of the box. He had some Power Master Primes a couple years ago that were that.
Yeah.
And it's rare indeed.
Yeah. And Hing keeps throwing up some Yahoo auctions from Yahoo Japan. And but let's move on. You know, San Diego Comic-Con is happening right now. And there's been some reveals over the last couple days.
Oh, yeah.
Some of them great, some of them not so great. You know, and we talked a couple weeks ago about, you know, what we expected to see out of San Diego Comic-Con as far as reveals. And I want to say that we was a little bit on base with what we said. I mean, that yes, there was a Technobot unveiled at SDCC.
Just a Technobot.
And honestly, I don't disagree with the mold that they used. I personally like the way it looks, but where the hell is my nose cone, light speed, strafe, and
afterburner?
You know, why show one if you're not going to show the rest? But Don, I think you've talked about it here recently. What's some of your highlights for the SDCC reveals?
All right. Well, of course, I'm going to start off with the three things. Two are awesome. One I like, but I'm going to put an asterisk beside that. This was hinted at. We are getting G2 Superion in all the beautiful G2 glory that it deserves. And we are also getting G2 Minasaur. Which is a big plus because, as we all know, Minasaur was not released except for the BotCon 94 breakdown that luckily a lot of us were able to get with that year.
You know, I'm surprised so, that wasn't a that's not going to be a BotCon or a club exclusive.
Well, they've done that a couple of times already in that color. The first time, then there was the figure in the G2 sets, and then the Hartmans did it for the 2004 Breakfast Action Master exclusive as well. So the club has done several G2 breakdowns through the years, but it's nice getting them in these colors. Again, going with the G2, I have a certain nostalgic fondness. People that wasn't there looking back don't understand the colors or don't understand some of the stuff. But it was a really experimental time for Transformers.
It was only Plasticon,
yeah,
truly loves the G2 the way anybody else can. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, those two are two of the. I'm glad we saw those. I am sorry we didn't see the Technobots in general, but you know it's possible that with their release, they may be a combiner in Titan Wars, even though they're not a Titan. Like, Megatron is in Combiner Wars, and he's not a combiner. He's just part of the theme dress. The third thing I want to talk about is Victorion. Now, this is a point of contention for a lot of people. because of the colors. But XV on RFC raised a good point. Teals and oranges do not photograph well.
No.
So when we see these colors, like on somebody's video review, or we see you know a better filtered pictures, I think we'll get a better idea of the colors. I personally don't have a problem with the colors because basically they're quick switch. They're quick switch or rapido.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same color palette for both characters. So, you know, it's... But I like the fact that we're getting some remolds, we're getting new heads, we're getting new feet with ankle tilts and high heels. So I'm really looking forward to that figure, but again, with the colors they've picked, because quick switch colors is not something you've seen too often. Basically, until Rapido, it's all it was used for quick switch. No one else had that color pattern.
But for a whole combiner? You know, I mean, you can't complain too much. I mean, the Constructicons are all green.
Yeah. And purple, well, again, they're a group. I mean, if you've got a group of characters that are all expressly unified for one purpose, then you would want them to have a team dress, like a football team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're you know, the Combaticons are a military group. But they're different vehicles that require different colors. These are all vehicles and robots made for one specific purpose. And so you want a unified color pattern. But again, like I said, I think people will either decide to like them or hate them once we see actual in-hand pictures that, you know, are not skewed because of the colors used.
Yeah. Natsume is not going to be able to be on the entire show with us. I want to get her insights and her opinions on the San Diego reveals. Let's hear from you, Nat.
Okay. I think my mic is unmuted. I haven't had a lot of chance to check up on that. I want to be able to talk about, like, the video game stuff. Like, I like the way the video game looks, but I'm not a fan of fighter games, so that. And I have hardly had a chance to look at the toys, one of them being, gosh, those colors. I can't stand them. I haven't seen big enough pictures for me to comment on any of those, unfortunately. I'm really sorry.
Okay. Well, I know you were going off on Victorion, and I'm like, okay, yeah, let's
He's the only one because I've actually seen his Voyager in person.
Her.
We actually got him in
her.
Our store recently.
Her. To her.
So
that thing.
Sorry. Yeah, we were looking at Hotspot in store today, like literally before I left work, and I was like, "Oh, I remember seeing pictures of him online. I think he's going to have, you know, a really interesting color combination." I get to looking at him in store, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, it hurts my eyes. They're not, even individually, I don't like the colors, which is probably one of the problems. Just like the bluish green isn't quite seafoam. It's not quite teal. It's not quite blue. It's not quite green. It's just kind of a mushy color that isn't any one color. And the orangish, pinkish, reddish kind of pukey color is the same thing. It's mushy. It's not quite, you know, one color. It's just kind of there.
Yeah, I mean,
yes, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with the molds, in my opinion. My opinion on Victorion. Yeah. My opinion.
Sorry. Yeah, the mold looks good.
Yeah, my opinion on Victorion is that as a mold, if it was a gray proto, I think we would have been going hog wild over the changes in that mold. The head doesn't necessarily match the previous artwork that we've seen, but I'm okay with it. But overall, I mean, I think the mold choices are fine. I think the mold changes are fine. But I was speaking with Insane Galvatron earlier this week, yesterday, as a matter of fact, on the phone, and we were discussing Victorion, and while they used pretty much the color palettes that were voted on by the fans, the placement of said colors looked like they just handed the palette to a 5-year-old and said, point to where you want this color to be. And it's just like, I mean, I don't know. I'm really hoping it's just prototype. You know, I hope they tweak it some more, maybe add some tampos in certain areas and make it more appealing. I don't necessarily have a problem with teal or red, but used in the way that they used them on that toy, just it's hideous, you know, and that's my opinion on it. But let's talk about the Devastation video game really quick. Natsume kind of brought it out. And while she's here, and she's our resident video game nerd. I know you said that you're not into fighting games per se, but as far as what you've seen about it, what is your opinion on it?
Again, it's one of those things I'm going to have to wait on to really give, because so far I've seen the E3 video. I have not watched the SDCC one, even though I've seen it posted on there, and I've looked at the screen caps from it. They look fantastic. There just hasn't been enough for me to comment on the game. I'm pretty sure I'll probably be getting it and doing the whole YouTube thing like I used to do for Revenge of the Fallen, because this is really the main first Transformers video game we've had a long while, like a good Transformers game. And that's originally kind of what got me started on YouTube, and I'd love to do it again. As far as, I think it looks great. I think it looks fantastic. I think the models and the textures and the lighting and rendering, shading, all that looks great, and it looks like they didn't try too hard. It looks like they know exactly what they were going for, and they achieved whatever they're going for with the G1 models and trying to get kind of that cel-shaded look. As far as what I've seen from the animations, they look fantastic. I'm very interested. Have we seen any transformations at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a video out that shows Optimus transforming, Wheeljack transforming from car to robot mode, Bumblebee transforming, I think, as well.
Grimlock, they've shown the combats where he transformed from dinosaur to robot and then, like, power bombs somebody.
There's a new video now, too. This one featuring Sideswipe. It just went up.
I just finished watching that before we started.
Alrighty, so I'm going to have to catch up with those, because I think in the E3 video they didn't show any transforming, so I wasn't sure how that was going to factor in the gameplay. I'm still really interested in how they're going to use that in a fighting game, especially when there are car modes, and assuming you have, you know, a halfway limited fighting arena. Because obviously you can have a humongous arena, but maybe you have to break down walls to get to further parts in the arena. How will that be achieved? Do you have weapons in car mode? Do you even have guns in robot mode?
Go ahead.
Yeah, Bumblebee has a gun on top of his vehicle mode that he's shooting at airborne seekers.
I think the thing
would you like me to go on about that? Because I've watched all the videos, both from E3 and SDCC already, regarding Devastation. Because seriously, I love these kind of games. And the minute I found out it was Platinum, I went, oh yes. As long as there's not too many crotch shots of Optimus Prime, we're okay.
The only thing I have a concern about is that there's been many fighting games that were Transformer games, you know, like the first one, I believe, was a Beast Wars game for the PS1 way back when. And the transformation was more or less just a gimmick. It really didn't add that much to the gameplay. And then you look at the War for Cybertron and the Fall of Cybertron games. I mean, yeah, transformation had, some usefulness, but I mean, it was way more useful than before, but overall, I mean, it just, you could really just run around the map and fight and
exactly
never transform.
Don't forget about Cybertron Adventures. That took the same similar game and changed it up a bit.
And that was all forced transformations, was it not? You would not be able to do that on will.
Pretty much. But even so, they gave it more of an important role, I think, in certain levels.
Have you played the PS2 Transformers Armada game? Because the transformations in that, the vehicle modes actually had a benefit in comparison. And from what I can tell with Devastation, the vehicle modes aren't really necessary. It's just part of the combos that is very common with Platinum games, where it's the over-the-top combos where you use the vehicle modes to charge and crash into your enemy and smash them into a wall.
And see, I think that is a fantastic use of transformation in a fighting video game, whereas in the Armada video game, it was used for platforming. You could only go so far when you're running, but you would go into vehicle mode to be able to traverse a big gap. And so that's how it is accessible for an adventure in a platformer video game. So I'm really glad that if they're going to use it for combos and such, I mean, that would be really the only way to make it an effective and really like not feel like a tacky add-on for a fighting video game.
Just be thankful it's not Mystery of Convoy. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Another example of bad usage. But let's get back to the toys and everything. Dawn had shared a link to a picture of Victorion. I kind of want to go around, since that seems to be the elephant in the room tonight, and get more thoughts on that.
They're doing a Magnum Boss reissue?
What?
Yeah. Elephant
really?
Room.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. The elephant in the room.
The Santon in the room.
Why would you do that to me?
Yeah. Natsumi, I want to thank you for joining us this evening, and hope to see you again soon.
Yeah.
Take care.
I'm going to share the Victorion here. I want to hear Travis's thoughts on the Victorion.
Yeah. And again, and remember, these colors do not photograph and picture well to some degree. I'm just saying, I'm putting that just as a disclaimer.
You never know, though.
I'm going to challenge that as a photographer.
I mean, I'll be honest. I like the colors. I think they look cool.
Well, I mean,
it reminds me.
Are they not Quick Switch?
No. I was going to say they remind me like G1 Perceptor colors.
I see that. More black.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, more black, but I'm saying, actually, I didn't even really notice the black. The teal and the red stands out so freaking much. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, is this something I would buy? It's a slim chance I would ever, ever buy that, because I just don't buy new stuff that much. What is this going to be, an exclusive, or what is it?
No, that's Fans' Choice figure. I mean, it's going to be wide release.
It's a box set, is it not?
Yeah. Yeah, six figures, because you've also got Groove there as redone as well. The only downside, it'll probably be in the same boxes that we're using for G2 Superion and Minasaur, which are almost like the Takara boxes and not like the G2 Retro boxes, which I felt was kind of a letdown, but if Takara's already got a box that has all these figures in it, they can just use those boxes and change the graphics. So it's a lot less cost involved than making a new retro box.
So being that these are box sets, are they going to be sold at a slightly lesser Titan price point?
We don't know. I haven't heard any pricing information on anything coming out of SDCC, because all the pictures I've seen is everything is to be announced. Yeah. I haven't seen anything specific. Oh, and also, all the characters' individual weapons do combine to form the sword that Victorion is holding.
I'm ecstatic about that. I love that.
I think the one thing everybody agrees on is they all love the sword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, seriously, if you guys buy a Victorion and don't want the sword, I will buy it off you.
$99.99.
Oh, Mike. But I have to say, though, one of the things that really excited me was one of the heads looks like it's used from Nightbird that Takara's releasing.
I was thinking the same thing.
Is Hasbro releasing a Nightbird and Black Arachnia?
That
and
could be.
Slipstream, because that would be pretty good. You wouldn't have to pay the import price.
And if you notice on the Alpha Bravo mold, no rescue missiles.
I like the cracked windshield on the
I missed that.
Yeah, so did I. Oh, I would actually like to see what the fiction is, because I follow the IDW comics, so I'd like to see what the fiction is like with Victorian. Supposedly it's turning up soon after they end Windblade? Something like that.
So what's up with the name Rust Dust, anyway?
People drunk on Jägermeister.
Am I the only one that thinks that this should be called Firestar?
Yeah, I thought about that after last night's show.
The Hotspot repaint, yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it doesn't match what she looks like in the comics, though. That's the problem.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we didn't get to pick the names, and I think the fans would have picked a lot better names.
Rust Dust.
Yeah, it's just not...
That head almost is reminiscent of Windblade herself on the breakdown.
Without the ornamental thing on the top of the head, right?
Yeah.
So I have a question, bringing it back to square one. I mean, are these Combiner War toys like any good? Like
they are phenomenal.
God,
I mean, with the new stuff, I mean, I can't even try to fake. I'm so out of the loop. I mean, all I do is try to learn more about the old. I have no idea what's going on with this stuff.
Oh,
I mean, are they actually like a good toy, like a kid would enjoy playing?
Okay. Yes. All right, I'm gonna use my trademark RSC line. It's a good toy. Yes,
they look kind of cool.
They are. I mean, really, if you can go out and get, what would y'all recommend?
Spirion, and here is, and just for comparison's sake, here's a third party Hercules, and you got. Period.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Looks cool. Yeah. So they're very big and I'm gonna poke him in the face there. This is the US one. Because of the black hands and feet. I do have the Takara one on order from Captured Prey.
You mean this one?
I've actually held the Takara one in my hands, and honestly, I'm thinking about putting this one up for sale with Quickslinger. I'm keeping Alpha Bravo.
Yeah.
But
why would you say that?
Why would I say what?
Why would you want to sell the US version then?
Because the Takara one, having held it in my hands, I mean, they got the details just right. I mean, it's like the perfect mesh from the original cartoon to the original toys. Like, for example, Slingshot, you know how the original toy had the where the tail section came up and met the nose section of the plane to form the backpack? Mm-hmm. You know that that little bar that connected along the spine of the aircraft to the tail, that little black bar, they actually painted that up to the tail fan, and it's actually a paint detail
on the
car one. And the nose cones have the red Autobot insignia on the nose cones. Silverbolt has more gray, so he kind of has that bent nose cone look to the Concorde on the Takara one, whereas the Hasbro one is all black, and it just, you know, it's very minimalistic. The Takara Silverbolt is more white, whereas the Hasbro Silverbolt is more of a cream colored, I guess. And just the added paint details, like, for example, Firefly wings kind of are painted more onto the body of the actual aircraft, and they appear bigger. You know, so just the visual of the aircraft looks better because of the paint jobs. And I'm like, it's $120 for the set here in the United States for the Takara set. And, you know, if I could sell my Hasbro one for $85, you know, with Quickslinger, you know, I think I'd have $40 in upsell for the Takara one.
Well, real quick, Darren, let me ask y'all this. If we take it as our sacred mission to talk Travis into getting one American Combiner Wars figure that we have available now. Of the
Defensor.
I was going to ask, Superion, Minotaur, or Defensor? Because
Defensor.
He is Combiner Wars, right?
Yeah, but I mean, talking about Combiner Wars combiners. I would vote Defensor.
I mean, just so you can see how good of a toy they really are, and what they're
Combiner Wars Combiner.
Hmm.
There you go.
That's like a Megatron in the middle.
Yeah.
I just ruined your day. You're welcome.
Because you guys were talking about it, I was just checking on eBay, and I was thinking about biting the bullet on the Comic-Con Devastator. I mean, is that a good toy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but...
Unnecessary chrome, but yes.
Yeah. If you are going to get the Devastator, I recommend the Takara one, because they have elbows and weapons, individual weapons.
And paint.
It's going to be about the same price.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it? Yeah? Because I'm checking right now... The Comic-Con one's like $200 on
eBay. It's going to be about the same price.
Yeah, the Takara one's about $225, $230 somewhere.
And what's it come in, a gift set?
It comes in a gift set.
Hang on a second. I've got mine right here. Let me show Travis what it looks like.
Wait, okay. Are you showing the U.S. one? So what I've seen is the Takara version looks to be 23,500 yen.
Yeah, it's due for release in December.
Yeah, well, that just gives me time to save enough money to buy it.
Oh, what's that? That's the Devastator gift set on the bottom, I'm seeing. What is that, American? Or is that...
That is the American one.
Okay. I haven't even seen that in a store. I was actually at Toys R Us today looking for
something. Actual size.
They just started hitting, like, the last couple weeks or so.
Yeah. But, you know, the other problem is even if I buy it, I'm not going to open it anyway, so.
Open it. Well, then in that case, you need to buy two, so you keep one and then open the other.
Yeah.
That's like, it kills me. The one toy I almost opened was the Generations Metroplex, and I still haven't done it yet. It's on my floor collecting dust.
Well, you know, you could probably sell that and get enough to get the car version of...
Yeah, you could sell that to Chad Williams, who just joined us, and he happens to be looking for a Generations Metroplex.
Wait, are you serious?
That's a good segue. There you go.
Are you? I mean...
Hey, like, that's why I'm the host.
With the most.
Are you actually looking for that piece? Because I'd happily sell it. I mean, I don't
even... I'm looking for it, but right now I'm currently out of money, so yeah, it makes it a little difficult.
Okay.
But
how about the Takara version?
Give me about a month and I would have the money for it.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah, because I mean, I bought it and I was just like, why did I never usually buy new toys. And I was like, it's the new biggest Transformer ever made. I guess I'll buy it. And then it's just sitting in my closet collecting dust.
Okay. Now, you've seen the TFC Hercules in person, correct?
I have, yeah. TFC.
Okay. The new Devastator towers over this. This guy comes up to probably just under his chest. So,
really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Would Duron lie to you? Like, seriously?
No. I'm really strange when I collect my Transformers. I mean, I haven't opened one in like 4 years. So,
hey, Travis, I put a link in the chat for you.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. 4 years. I would be going through withdrawals.
I've never heard of this website. This is cool.
They're part of the Transitions podcast.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. But that Devastator is actually, you saw where my hand was on the box.
Yeah.
The back of the box is actual size, 18 and a half inches.
Really? I see they have United Wars. Because I love Devastator. That's why I'm thinking about buying it. That's cool. So definitely buy the Japanese one over the American one?
Yeah. I would buy the Japanese one. If I were to get just one, I would get the Japanese one because
I would say it depends,
you'll get the, well, you're going to get superior paint apps. You're going to get the individual Constructicon weapons. You're going to get multiple different heads or a different head for the Devastator Combiner.
No, you get one head with a sliding visor. Sorry.
Yeah, well, it's different than the ones that we got over here, and also the American versions of Scrapper, Long Haul, and I think is it Scavenger or Mixmaster. The American versions do not have elbows, but yet the Takara one does.
Why would they not give them elbows? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Cost cutting. I honestly believe it's just a cost cutting thing. It's they're probably saving $1 per figure, and you know you make 10,000 figures, and you're going to save $10,000. So,
on that, seeing how the elbows ended up looking on figures such as Hook, I'm not really too fond of having the elbow thing there. I don't know. I have to wait and see the figures in person to really make up my mind.
Yeah.
But I mean, it, looking at Hook when his arm is bent, you've got the hinge at the front corners of his arms. So when you bend the arm, it's like it's detached from the rest of the arm and hanging on just by the little hinge. It looks mm-hmm. There's that gap there. I don't know.
How many Transformers do that though? I mean, it does it quite a bit actually.
Right, but at that scale though.
Now, also, Travis, for comparison, each one of the Constructicons in the new Devastator set, each one of the Constructicons in their individual robot forms is as tall as G1 Devastator.
Yep. What? That's crazy.
This size.
That's so big. Oh, my God.
Yes.
That's ridiculous.
That is the reason to get this toy.
Yes. That's so big.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. There's many pictures out there that shows Long Haul and, Long Haul just standing next to G1 Devastator, and they're, like, same height.
Yeah. That's nuts. Yeah. You know, Don, you sent me this link, and all your – doing is reminding me that I forgot to spend money because the masterpiece Star Saber, I totally forgot about that. And that looks awesome.
The toy that I got at BotCon sealed for $30.
You did not get that for $30.
Yes, it did.
Yes, it did.
How was that possible?
I was there. I'll vouch for him on that.
How was that possible?
I bought the Destructicons, Scourge and Bludgeon, Men and Sealed Card, case fresh from the Hartmans for $15 a piece, and then turned around and traded them straight up for Star Saber, Masterpiece Star Saber.
He did.
Why wouldn't you keep those for $15 a piece?
Because
he got a Star Saber for $30.
Yeah, I wanted Star Saber more. I mean, both. I would have been happy with either, honestly.
What did you get? Oh, repeat it one more time. What did you buy for $15 a piece?
The RID KB exclusive Destructicon Scourge and Bludgeon. Both of them were case fresh and sealed on the card.
Really?
I wanted to keep them, and I was going to get I had thought about getting them signed by the Hartmans and displaying them in my case, you know, because they were from their original collection. However, I got to thinking, I'm like, I've owned both of these toys before. And do I really need to have them again? I've never owned a Masterpiece Star Saber. I'm a Masterpiece collector now. So I'm like, I would rather have Masterpiece Star Saber. Mm-hmm. So I walked around the dealer room and I looked at all the dealers that had the Star Saber for sale. And I talked to each one. There was a couple that wanted, you know, a little bit more money in addition to that, or some extra trade value. But there was one, a guy actually wanted those two toys for his own personal collection. And he says, you know, I'm going to probably lose a little on this, but he said, it's a fair trade because you're getting something you want. I'm getting something that I want. So he straight up traded.
Really?
Yeah. So $30 Masterpiece Star Saber. Right there's the box, yeah. And he's in my case right now.
Do you think you're going to make a victory, Leah?
Down the road, I believe they will.
Well, the normal Victory Leo, the G1 Victory Leo, kind of loosely attaches to...
I'm not putting my G1 Victory Leo on a master... No. It stays in the box.
Did I ever tell you I got a Victory Saber as my wedding gift?
Oh, that's what a better wedding gift. That's the best.
Oh, and the Death Star is with it as well.
What? That's awesome.
I have an itch. I'm sorry.
He knows people.
He knows people, or it's something that rhymes with nose, but I don't know.
I know people who are getting married and their wives don't want them to hang on to that many Transformers.
Wow. Top men, Duron.
Yes.
Top men.
Yes. okay, let's we've kind of dwelt on some of these topics. Now let's move on to we've kicked Victorion to death right now. Let's talk about and we've also talked about the G2 repaints, which are awesome in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They're G2 repaints. You can't really knock them on their color scheme because they are what they are. I mean, they're G2. G2 is known for that. So I think it's beating a dead horse when you sit there and say, oh, their colors are eye bleeding and everything. It's like you expected anything less from G2 recolors. And
do you think we get G2 of the Combaticons?
I would expect it.
Likely. Here's the thing, though. I don't know the validity of this, but I heard or read somewhere online that Hasbro actually purchased a G2 Superion set.
Yeah,
G2 slingshot and all, just the color match.
We heard the same thing on RSC. It was the same thing we were told or read from the information coming out.
Hasbro's actually making effort to do stuff.
Yeah, they actually made an effort to make sure that the color matched on with the original, and to also copy the designs of the wings on the flame, wings, tampographs and things like that. So they really went that extra mile, and I appreciate that. And even though I have a Hasbro, I'm hopefully going to sell this one and then get the Takara one, but I would happily buy the G2 versions of both Menasor and Superion personally. Mm-hmm. And those I most likely either would keep sealed or just display them individually just because of what they are. You know, these molds are so beautiful in and of themselves. And speaking of G2, who happens to jump in? These molds are beautiful in and of themselves. They're really good updates of the original characters, and I would love to see them in their G2 incarnations. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Well, don't forget, as far as Bruticus goes, there will be a running change through the regular figures to closer match the chest plate to the cartoon colors. So we've already got a slight color variation that, and that's not even counting what they might do for the Takara version if they make Blastoff a space shuttle like they did Groove for Defensor.
Now, I had a question about that because I was too busy fighting my camera there at the panel in BotCon to really get a good look at it. But the running change on the Combaticons, is that every Combaticon going to have that running change, or just
I gather chest plate on Rubicus.
Okay, so there wouldn't be like two variants of Swindle or something, like one toy accurate and one cartoon accurate type of thing.
No, that the way I think we're all understanding it the same way is that because the animation model they originally thought that Bruticus's chest shield was the wings from Blastoff in the animation model. That's why it's colored closer to Blastoff's colors, but then it'll be changing to the other alternate color.
I did think it looked weird with the brown rather than the gray that we're so used to. It just seemed a bit weird.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest, the one thing that bothers me about Bruticus even the most is those yellow rescue missiles on Vortex on that bar. Yes. The yellow just pulls. It's like the chrome on SDCC Devastator. It pulls my eyes right to that one point.
Right. These things right here on the Alpha Bravo mold.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, most everybody calls them rescue missiles because Blades is a protective bot, but he has missiles. So they're now called rescue missiles.
Rescue missiles.
Have you not read Action Force? He just flies in and goes like, oh, there's humans. I'll just shoot a missile at them.
Well, no, they're probably filled with fire retardant foam so that they explode and put out fires on impact.
Fire retardant foam!
No! Okay, since he's our resident G2 aficionado, Plasticon.
One of.
Me? What about me?
Yeah. What are
I ditched the whole idea of taking the ones I currently bought and turning them into Minasaur the second I saw that. So I was like, yeah, I guess I can do some other G2 stuff. So hint, hint, nudge, nudge. You're going to see some different combiner come out of that.
Shattered Glass G2.
Really? Should I strangle you? Those two do not belong in the same sentence.
Shattered Glass G2 Alpha Bravo.
Well, I'll be honest, because
it would just be black.
No, just give him a mustache. That's all you need.
Shattered Glass G2 Nemesis Alpha Bravo.
With a monocle.
I'm sorry, but that Superion is the most spot on thing I have seen. Yeah. That slingshot, straight up gold. Thank you, Hasbro, for doing
and just for all those people
what needs to be done there with Generation 2.
For all those people that sit there and say, oh, that slingshot's going to crumble and everything like that. Dudes, they have totally fixed that gold plastic syndrome. It's not an issue anymore.
They're using a different mixture. They're using a different mixture nowadays. They're not even using the same mixture. That's the thing. Back then, they actually put real gold flaking in it. And it wasn't like real gold that, you know.
Yeah, it's like a glitter type stuff.
It's a glitter kind of gold they put in there that was just like, you know, microscopic. But the plastic itself would just not adhere and come apart. The way they do it nowadays, they just have a different style. It's just...
But what if to just make the fans happy, they've just followed the old style of painting. So you're gonna open your box set and then there's the rest of the Aerobots and just like gold flakes on the
ground. That would have been epic. That would have been epic if they issued a box set and you open and it's like the Unite Warriors. You know, it's got the flap on the front where you can open it up and look on the inside, and you got all the Aerobots, and then you got this bag of gold dust for a slingshot.
In defense, I want them to purposely put a bag of gold dust or whatever in the box with it, and I want them to do the same thing with Minasaur, because a lot of people don't know that Dragstrip's little the engine compartment was going to be GPS. So guess what? He would even suffer from GPS. A lot of people don't know the stuff about G2 as I do. Even my whole thing is, okay, they did these two. I want Bruticus and G2, and I want Defensor and Generation 2 colors. Right. Well, there has been high-res pictures on TFW 2005 put up of Defensor. Somebody got hold of it and actually did very decent, close-up, beautiful pictures of this thing. Yes, please, Hasbro. Give us both of those.
Well, now, Plastic, with you being the other G2 fan, like myself, and the rest of them not having a soul to enjoy. Do you feel like not having the retro box like Fall of Cybertron and Bruticus was kind of a missed opportunity? Because they're probably using the Unite Warriors box. It's already made. They just changed the graphic. You know, I understand that, and I'm not gonna be a fanboy like that. But do you wish that we kind of had kept the retro boxes?
I really wish, and I kind of hope that when they put the actual system in production, that there'll be enough of a stink about this that they do that. Give us the retro box.
It's too late.
How do you know it's too late?
Honestly, it's not on the
shelf yet.
Just the way
you can change it.
Just the way things go. I mean, they can't. Okay. I mean, it just makes sense. I mean, these things. I agree with you. I mean, there needs to be a retro box, but
I can see
because these things obviously are aimed at adult collectors, because I mean, kids aren't going to know what G2 is, and kids don't care what G2 is.
Yeah.
They'll just see it as a Superion, which they're familiar with from the other Superior, or from the other Combiner Wars release. They'll just see it as that, and they're like, "Why is it in these weird colors?
How come it doesn't have a race car for an arm?"
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Yeah, well, I gotta leave just to say one thing. Third party people, if you're listening, I know these Combiner Wars are kind of eating into y'all's plans on Combiners. Make us G2 boxes that we can buy to put these figures in.
My whole thing is any of the indie toy guys, they need to think about this. Add-ons are huge.
Speaking of boxes, Chad, are you still there?
I think he might be hanging.
Yeah, he's.
Oh, there he is.
He's there. He might get around to unmuting his mic now. There we are.
Hey, man, you know me. I'm trying to, you know, not sound all like I'm in a tunnel. So.
Yeah.
Being at work and all.
Yeah. Well, so, Chad, say by your command.
It's like
a Cylon.
So, the boxes, I am currently working on boxes, actually, with foam inserts and using some Yellow Wolf picture art for the boxes to kind of bring them back to a G1-ish, G2-ish kind of style. There is boxes in the works as far as that goes, but it's a little harder than it seems. So
that's what she said.
I am currently working on some boxes though to debut here pretty soon. Gift boxes that will hold all seven figures for Superion. So you could have Alpha Bravo and all and Quickslinger and all of them in there, along with Power Glide and the weapons. I am currently working on that.
Anybody notice that the Power Glide that they've got for the G2 Superion set looks to be a redeco or an homage to the Universe Power Glide that was released a few years back?
Mm-hmm. I did.
I thought that was pretty neat.
I was thinking that or kind of a Hot House, like a Master ish.
Yeah, that's another one too.
But
now, Chad, what's your take on the whole G2 color scheme theme at that was unveiled at SDCC? And okay,
he just disappeared.
So, yeah,
and that's how he feels.
He's back.
Hey man, I'm muting. I'm sorry, I mute myself out so I don't have background noise.
So basically, you're farting while you mute. Yeah.
Well, you know, I only take after fellow truckers. So, yes. My feeling on G2 is that it's awesome. I kind of agree with you, Duran, that the Superion is by far the best of the G2 that they've shown. Minasaur, they didn't quite get him right, in my opinion. He's off somehow. So I think if they would tweak it a little bit before it goes into production, it'd be great. But if it is what it is, you know, then obviously, you know, being a collector and being a G2-esque fan, I'm probably going to get him anyway.
Mm-hmm. Travis, over your shoulder, I see a G2 carded figure. So you do have a little, I believe over your
left. Oh, that will be.
Yeah,
I didn't even know I owned that.
So you're sporting a little G2 love in your background. What's your opinion on G2 color schemes making a comeback?
You know, the thing is, it's part as hideous as they are. It's part of the Transformers history, and that's why I love it. So I think it's cool that they're bringing it back. I mean, it's a nice, you know, pay homage to the G2 stuff. But G2 was never my thing. I've always been a diehard G1 guy. But I think it's cool. I respect it.
Do you think that assuming that the rumor that Hasbro purchased a G2 or located a G2 an original G2 Superion, just the color match and match the tampos and everything. Assuming that's an accurate statement, do you think that adds to the allure?
Oh yeah, because if anything, that just shows like Hasbro really, really cares for the fans, because no 9-year-old is gonna care like, oh, that shade of blue is off. Like, I was gonna care about that, you know?
And so that shows, you know, there once was a time when the whole statement Hasbro cares about the fans would have been laughed off the show. I don't know if they really care as much as we want them to from a fan standpoint. However, I think more so now than they have in the past. I mean, I think, you know, you look back in the early 2000s, what they cared about, what the fans want. They're a toy company. They were making toys aimed at kids. And if collectors and adults wanted them, it's just more money in our pocket. But now they're learning that more and more that fans are wanting these things and they're listening. And these G2 sets are a perfect example of that, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, it's with everything.
They need to do more. That's all I got to say. They need to do them all. Well, I'm sorry. I want Devastator in orange and I want him in yellow.
Yeah. Both. Go ahead, Travis.
Well, I mean, you could definitely tell Hasbro does more for the fans now because they're making toys. Like, well, how much was that Soundwave at Toys R Us now? $180? Your average parent's not going to buy that for their kid to play with.
No. Well, Devastator. I mean, honestly, who's going to buy, the two foot tall or foot and a half tall $150 toy? I mean, as a kid, my mom would have balked at a $100 toy. She balked at an $80 toy. You know, she rarely bought me a $50 toy, you know. So, I got to think that a lot of parents feel the same way today. You know, I mean, I'm sure there's some parents out there that don't even bat an eye at the price of a toy. But yeah. I'm talking about in general, you know, I really think that the higher priced toys like the Metroplex, like the Devastator, are specifically aimed at an adult collector. And you know, they make them for the kids because, you know, kids are the main audience. But, you know, I don't think that they make only for kids anymore.
No, because when I was at Toys R Us the other day, it was so funny. I was looking at the Combiner Wars stuff, and then I saw, like, the robot – is it Robots in Disguise, whatever, the new cartoon?
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw the toy for like Steeljaw. It looked like the cheapest thing possible. Like it was a horrible, horrible toy. All the toys from the cartoons looked absolutely cheap.
They're very hollow. Very, very hollow.
Yet they're putting all this money in toys that don't even have a cartoon to go with it. So clearly that's a sign. Where,
well, the RID does have a cartoon.
Well, no, I'm talking about Combiner Wars.
Oh, like, it's actually coming.
They will.
They're making it, really?
Yes. Yeah, it's showing up Machinima.
Really?
Combiner
Wars. I think the thing that's actually pushing the buzz, though, is that that new game that's coming out, too.
Definitely.
I mean, if you look at the game that's coming out, it looks a lot like the characters they're releasing, especially that Devastator. It really does look like it. And, I mean, the Prime might look, you know, more G1-ish, but that's what people think, you know? The new one that's out looks more like Power Master Prime or the
Energon?
No, I was thinking Hero Prime because it looks like Hero Prime a lot. I don't know if you guys realize that or not, but if you took the rocket launcher gimmick off of his arm and painted his legs blue, it literally almost looks like him in robot mode. I don't know if you guys have ever owned that mold, but it's very reminiscent, especially with a flat chest and it almost looks like sticker kind of windows, but not really. I mean, There's a lot in common with a lot of this stuff, but I honestly, in my whole opinion, with the whole line that's come out, third party needs to get on making trailers for Motormaster and Prime.
Definitely.
There's no reason why they can't. Those right there, you can make them so that way, okay, Motormaster might not look the best. Well, guess what? You give them a trailer that literally has all these combiner portions. Maybe some of it breaks off and gives better guns to click onto the back of it.
I say make a trailer that parts forms kind of take a page from Fans Project from Diesel.
Pandora's Box. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
I want them to do something like that.
But kind of break apart and some of the trailer become hands, some of the trailer become feet. And then weapons, and then add-on parts like shoulder pylons on Minasaur.
Like RID Prime.
To give a different head sculpt, something. Better weapons and guns. Like, say now, it folds open and it's got all the little bitty guns that actually look like the G1 guns for all the characters.
Okay, and now moving on, in the interest of a flow here, we talked about the G2, we've talked about Victorion, And we touched a little bit on Scattershot at the beginning of the episode. We talked about the possibility of them announcing a Computron at SDCC. And overall, I'm honestly a little bit underwhelmed by what was actually unveiled at SDCC. I mean, we saw some hints at card art or artwork for the G2 Superion, and then it just got confirmed. We saw nothing from Titan Wars, nothing about, you know, any of the line art that we talked about. And yes, we were shown Scattershot. It's a heavy retool, redeco of Silverbolt. I don't mind that. I think it looks good. I don't like the fact that, personally, that the head is just a redeco of Superion's head, because that's not Computron to me. However, I do like the way Scattershot looks. But where the hell is the other four Technobots? You know, it just seems like they fell short. Anybody else have any thoughts on that?
I do. I was born and raised a Computron fanboy. That was actually the very first combiner I ever saw as a child in person, put together, fully assembled, and that character has stuck with me ever since. And I have been pining for upgraded, in some form, Technobots. When Cybertron came out in 2005, I heard the name Scattershot, and I'm like, that's close. They're doing something. And they didn't. Then a few years later, we got the little Legends repaints. It was like, I think, Vector Prime repainted into Scattershot. It's like, you're so close. And nothing. And finally, we get this. And while I'm not too big a fan of reusing the Silverbolt mold, I can understand why they did, because of the similarities between them overall in the style, and how the Jetmo, when the arms and legs are folded up, it lends itself to Scattershot's proportions in that capacity.
Here's an idea. Now, okay, in robot mode, I'm going to have to turn Superion upside down here, because this right here is actually, I think, yeah, Silverbolt's head actually comes out right here.
He's a chest burster.
Yeah, okay. You put the rifle on the back, what's that make?
That makes
a cannon on his back.
Yep.
Just like G1 Scattershot. So I'm not concerned about that. Yeah.
The nose cone of the jet, not nose cone of the Technobot. The nose cone of his jet does have molded onto it the kind of the cannon detail, as if it were the G1 cannon from the toy.
Yeah.
And that's always exposed, so that might be a little off-putting. But they do have on top molded, the new like windows for the cockpit and all that. I did notice they retained the passenger jet windows along the sides, So it's going to take a little bit for me to ignore those. However, what they've done with the wing sculpt, I really, really like.
Yeah.
I was pretty impressed by that. Concern though is I cannot convince myself that those official images that we've seen, and even the figure that was present there at SDCC, is by any means a final production piece.
No, and we always kind of keep that in mind whenever we see these these first reveals. I mean, they're not released toys. There's always a time for a little bit of a change. I think the G2 stuff is a lot closer than the other things. I think they're if they've got boxed samples, they're pretty close to release, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Two
things though about that was my train of thought just crashed. Scattershot.
G2 scattershot?
No, but close.
He has no idea.
Shatterglass. That's Shatterglass.
No, it's not. This is Generation 2. That is screaming pink and screaming colors.
Right. that's what it was. It was the final production piece, though, is two things. Is one, it has Superion's head sculpt, and I cannot convince myself that they would do that on purpose when they remolded heads and hands and feet and wings on all these other figures, right and left, all across the board throughout the whole line. So that's got to be something they're doing for this. They've got to do a Computron head. And also, in the official images that they released, we do not see a combined torso mode in those images. We see robot mode and we see jet mode. Yes, but not
they showed him combined with like Sunstreaker and Ironhide Brow.
True. But not in the official images with the all white background. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Like TFW may update, like, you know, such and such figure official images. No, they'll have like the full gallery that's actually the images like they would use on Hasbro's website.
Yeah.
But we didn't get a combiner torso shot of that. We just got the robot mode and vehicle mode picture. But yeah, the figure that was in the case physically was combined, yes. But something else I wanted to mention too, you mentioned about the gun on the back. Something else it does too, which Generation 1 Scattershot was notorious for. Right there.
Yeah.
And to those listeners, just take a wild guess where I went with that one.
Wanker mode.
Yep.
Yeah. But
so there's the cannon.
Yeah,
it's even worse because it extends in G1.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
hit a button angle.
I mean, now one thing though is that if you look at the Superion head on that scatter shot, I don't know about y'all, but to me, I think they colored it kind of what they're shooting for because it does have the red visor.
It does.
So I think
it's just a work in progress.
Right. You know, yeah, it's just they're using that to try to give an idea. Because what I think they're trying to avoid, because Groove just hasn't even come out yet in Japan, so it would be really hard to have a Groove in hand them to show another Technobot.
Right.
I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to avoid another hot glue Minasaur issue from Toy Fair. That they'd rather wait and have the actual products they can show,
right?
Rather than glue a bunch of stuff together, and everyone saw how bad that looked in the initial pictures because the stuff was literally glued together.
It was.
So I think they're just trying to avoid that all over again.
Yeah.
So something else I'm wondering about that too is following the patterns of previous combiners that they've released. Are we going to have one odd member out? Is there going to be a new original character as kind of a de facto Technobot?
Just get the Takara version.
Well, sure.
it'll have all five.
I can't help but wonder who's going to get the axe, and I'm wondering if it might end up being maybe Nose Cone to get the axe.
No, I think it'll be Strafe because he's the weirdest one out of the bunch.
Gemolds, though. Air Raid would be perfect.
Not really, because you got that weird front of the jet. Nose Cone, all you got to do is take the Brawl figure from Bruticus and put a drill on the front, make him that, and the head sculpt kind of lends to Nose Cone.
Can
Why can't we just get the main group? Because the Combaticons didn't change anyone, did they?
Yeah, they changed Blastoff into a jet.
Yeah, he's a jet. But I mean, yeah, for strength, just take Air Raid, put a couple vertical fins on the existing large wings, cap off the front and mold missiles, or put places for missiles on the shoulders.
Yeah. I don't know. Now, the last 5-10 minutes of the episode, we're getting ready to approach the 2-hour mark. We've covered the main news that was unveiled at SDCC. And like I said, I'm personally a little bit underwhelmed by the lack of original unveilings. I mean, typically SDCC, we see a lot of new reveals. I mean, perennially, they've shown us a few things at BotCon, and then the really big things were unveiled at SDCC. This year, we just got, okay, here's a few repaints. I'm a little bit underwhelmed. I mean, and that's just the fanboy in me being a little nitpicky. But I was expecting something really big. And also, this is the thing that I want to discuss. I don't have a problem with repaints. I really don't. I mean, the G1 Seekers, I mean, it's happened ever since the original first Transformers came out. Repaints are a fact of life. And we knew that these Combiner Wars toys were going to be repainted and retooled and redecoed in 1,000 different ways. But holy crap. I mean, just think about this guy alone. And I'm holding up Combiner Wars Superion. Okay, this guy alone, we've got the Hasbro version. We got the Takara Tomy version. We got a G2 version. We got Blastoff being used out of this mold. We got and also the Slingshot or Quicksilver mold is just the same mold redecoed with the new head. You know, we're going to get some of these toys in the subscription service next year. We're going to get some of them already redecoed. The Combaticons, the Stunicons, the Protectobots are already using redecos, retools. I mean, there's already probably 3 or 4 iterations of the Dead End mold. Mm-hmm. You know, how many times do you want to buy the same toy with maybe just a new head or just or a really wildly different color scheme? Me, I'm going to be skipping, aside from Sunstreaker, because I'm a Sunstreaker fanboy, and maybe Mirage, because for the same reason. How many times do you want to buy the exact same mold over and over and over and over again? I mean, if you bought every Combiner Wars release, you're going to have a whole you can fill a DTOF with just Combiner Wars repaints. They're great toys, and I don't detract from that. But I mean, at what point do you draw the line?
Well, we actually brought this up as well, and I think what a lot of it is it's just mold burnout.
Yeah.
We need some new molds to add to, I mean, like Alpha Bravo.
The new guy, yeah, Alpha Bravo. Alpha Bravo, you have Blades, you have Vortex, have two characters in Victorion. There is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 versions of this, plus this mold I think is going to be Spinister. The collector's club, or in the subscription set, right. There's 6 uses of this one toy.
So we were talking about after at BotCon, we were all sitting around at dinner talking about this, and it's just the fact that it's not that we don't still love Combiner Wars. We do. We wouldn't be buying it and so excited for this stuff, but we're on a mold burnout. Some of these molds do not. We need new molds mixed in with these existing ones. Otherwise, it's going to get real old real fast. You know, like you said, you know, I do want some of the Autobot figures because I want to make Masquerade Minasaur with my Optimus Prime
because that's the only way that Prime's going to get any kind of use, because right now he's just sitting on my shelf, ignored.
I think my point precisely is, I don't mind a retool and a redeco, you know, and you might do it two or three times. I don't mind that within the span of one line. But you've got to have enough new molds and fresh, or even go back to an older line and bring in some older toys and redeco and retool them. You know, go back to the classics mold. I know some people hate it, but go back to the classic Sunstreak or Sideswipe mold. Tweak it a little bit, you know, bring it back and release it in Combiner Wars.
Yeah. Only, you know, if they don't use translucent plastic on the hinges and spots, you know, and joints.
And, you know, throw that in there. I mean, I understand the gimmick of Combiner Wars is combining, but every damn figure in the line doesn't have to combine.
Right. Well, here's the thing. here's the thing for me. With all the money they're saving, with all of these repaints and slight remolds that do cost less than a new figure, we should be getting a few more new figures in these deluxe sizes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know we're getting a brand new on Skylinks, and I know we're getting brand new heavy, heavy retools for the Combaticons. It's just with all the money they're saving from all these same figures.
Case in point, Takara Tomy is gonna have a Groove. We know that for a fact. Most likely going to have a Blastoff. And we know these new molds or heavy remolds are out there. Why the hell isn't Hasbro using them instead of just giving us rehash after rehash after rehash? It's almost like, okay, fans.
Well,
wait a minute. It's almost as if they're saying, okay, fans, you wanted this. We're going to bludgeon you over the head with it so you don't ever ask for anything again. It's almost what I'm feeling about it.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I mean, think about this. When they do the Computron, how do you know that they're not going to get a hold of that Groove mold and they come out with Afterburner as that?
Betatron.
You can't judge it yet because we haven't even seen the rest of the box.
And the other thing is,
you haven't touched the Brawl mold. Nobody's touched that thing yet. There might be some slight similarity to Rook, because Rook is a really good, and it's a different one. That's the thing. That's what's different about him.
Mm-hmm.
How, I mean, my thing is, okay, you're talking mainly, okay, they're reusing the helicopter a lot, and the jets, and the cars. Well, guess what? That's a lot of them. But there's some people out there like me that would love to see a Lyokaiser. That mm-hmm. could happen with this.
Yeah,
there's a lot of use for this thing. And you think about it, if they do it the right way, how do you know they won't come up with some crazy thing where they have a lot, a Star Saber and a Victory Leo that combine together, but they combine together Combiner Wars style, but four pieces of that form some gigantic line. How do you know we're not getting something like that? We don't know yet. We don't know what they have on the plate. What I'm saying is right now, we're getting burned out because we see a lot of the same molds at the moment.
Yep. I don't see a problem in that. I just wish there was some stuff to throw in there that they threw in there to kind of break it up. It just seems like the whole line is nothing but repaints and retools of the same stuff.
Well, that's the thing, though. You have to save money, you have to design a skeleton to build the certain parts to click onto that skeleton so you can reuse it. If you're going to dump like a ton of money, I mean, this isn't 1984. This
isn't 1985. I'm not asking them to.
But we got this entire line of toys that Hasbro really didn't
make. What I'm saying, though, I'm not asking them to make a fresh mold to throw in with this stuff. Do like they did in RID, the original RID. You know, you got some new stuff. You got a lot of new molds. Throw in some old stuff, redecoed and renamed as maybe a new character, and throw some of that into the line and break it up. Make it appear like the whole line isn't just retool after retool after retool after retool. And, you know, and it's not all cookie cutter stuff. You know, I mean,
well,
and you're not spending any money on extra tooling. You're just using stuff, something that already exists. I mean, well, go back and
look at a lot of 84 bots. How many times did they reuse that Countach mold? How many times did they reuse literally like the skeleton design of every combiner in G1? They were all identical skeleton wise. Every one of them. And so was the core bot. The core bot almost had the same transformation. Now, I know some people are kind of ticked off because Hasbro said, oh, well, they're not really going to try to do beast bots. My thing is, if you want a Predaking, if you want these other guys, an Abominus, Monstructor, I don't care. You have got to buy every single solitary one that comes out and support it. If you don't support it, the line will go away. And everybody will be crying because you're going to be stuck with stuff like RID, where it's hollow, it's made for a 5-year-old to transform, and you can throw it against a wall and it doesn't fall apart. That's what you're going to be stuck with. I mean, I really hate to say it. That is what is going on. We don't have a movie driving any of these toys right now. We're going to have a cartoon. That's great. That's awesome. But guess what? For us to keep getting these toys, the fandom has to continue to support it, no matter how burnt out it is. And if you want suggestions, put the suggestion out there. Everybody has to put the suggestion out there. Not just 10 people, not just 20. I'm talking hundreds. Then Hasbro listens. That's the reason why corporations tend to listen to their buyer base. I mean, why do you think HD DVDs aren't made anymore? Because Sony, Blu-ray suppressed it because they looked at the consumer buy rate. That's what caused it. You got to look at it that way. It's not just toys. Technology is the same way. You got to look at it all that way. Everybody buy every Combiner War thing. Guess what? We're going to get more toys. Mm-hmm. If you want, I'll tell you right now, you got Wheeljack they got coming out, right? Well, I guarantee you they're going to probably make a slicer out of it. And then they're probably going to make some kind of exhaust figure or something like that out of it. That's going to end up happening. You've got Sunstreaker, it's coming out. Well, guess what? Well, I guarantee you with the G2 stuff, they're going to make a G2 version of Sideswipe, and they're going to make a G1 version of Sideswipe, and possibly a Red Alert out of that. We don't have yet a Grapple or a Inferno. Well, why not make that out of the Hotspot mold? You see what I'm getting at? It's okay that you got them all combining together. Why? Because it gives you a play pattern. It makes a whole entire set look great on a shelf. You don't have stuff going way out of scale. Yeah, the Legends figures are to me. I'm not big on the fan.
Groove's the only one that really works for me.
Legends are cute, but I'm not a fan of them. I'm just not. I think the Legends are okay.
Yeah, as far as combining with the Combiner Wars stuff, Groove's the only one that really works for me because, I mean, I know scale's not a thing, but a small motorcycle with planes and cars and trucks, it works.
Well, see, this is the funny thing. We had Cosmos that came out. Mm-hmm. You got Gears and all these are that scale. We had the Optimus Prime. The Optimus Prime can combine with the Combiner Wars. Has anybody tried the other ones? Has anybody took a Cosmos and tried to slap it on the chest yet? We don't even know what we're getting there. I mean, you never know. They might, at BotCon next year or somewhere down the line, give us GoBot variations of some of these guys.
They're going to sell. Pathfinder,
yes. You see what I'm getting at? Or maybe even an e-hobby version where it's blue.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there are so many different variations. And then you got the G.I. Joe thing going on, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't really right now, the fandom cannot complain. We can't. And I would love to see them do something with Mask. With these. Yeah. Why not? They should.
Who knows?
They should merge all three.
Give me a crazy idea there when you were talking about like all the different potential repaints and things. A great idea for like a versus four pack, being that the 15th anniversary of the first RID is going to be next year. Would anybody complain if we got two Jets repainted, Off-Road repainted, and Dragstrip repainted as Toe-Line, Skids, Windshear, and Skyfire?
Dude, that is a brilliant idea.
Four pack.
That really is.
Instead of set of limbs for any Voyager.
Yeah.
Who are those characters?
Yeah. They're giving us a Trailbreaker. We don't have a hoist yet.
Heck, take Skylinks and make him into Gigatron.
There you go.
Mm.
Boom.
Yeah.
See?
All right. There's some great stuff that that we've brought up here. Some great points of discussion. And
very specific points of discussion.
Yeah. we could actually go on and on and on. And but that also goes to illustrate too. You know, we've talked a lot about just a few things, and there wasn't a whole lot that was announced at SDCC. You know, like I said, the G2 repaints, Victorion and the G2 repaints seem to get the most press. And then the Devastation and also the Combiner Wars Machinima thing. You know, there's a lot to talk about there. I mean, and I'm sure we'll talk about other points off and on over the coming weeks. And fans, those of you who are listening, even in on the recorded version, we want to hear from you on the Facebook group, on the Twitter account at TFYLP, or send us an email, podcast@tfylp.com. And, you know, if we find it relevant, we'll mention it on air, and we'd love to hear from you. A lot of great stuff we've talked about tonight. Some great stuff that we've mentioned. Plasticon, yeah, we actually plugged your sales a little bit earlier. If you look on the video earlier, we shared you cheesing and everything. But yeah, buy some.
Use the name.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I had to make that.
Screen shared it. So, but buy some stuff from Plasticon, Jason Walston on Facebook, and he's also on TFW 2005 as Plasticon 1978.
Oh, I do have a contest going too.
Ooh.
On my face, actually on my YouTube. When I hit 1,000 subscribers, I will be announcing the winner. This kind of clarifies it a little bit. I mean, some people's already found the answer, but you're supposed to go through the archives of my videos and find the one that's similar to MGO's, and you'll notice the similarity. And when you do that, you comment on the contest video in order to actually get put into the pot. When I hit 1,000 subs, I'm giving away a European Hotfoot mint on card. It's actually wrapped in cellophane too. It's not even took out. And then I've also got a Skyjack. They're both Generation 2 figures.
Imagine that.
Currently, and I haven't announced this yet, so I guess this is kind of exclusive for the folks that are listening right now. A buddy of mine decided to trade back my G2 Computron Imadium and G2 Defensor. So I am selling both, or not selling, but I am possibly going to be giving my prototypes away in the contest as well. I'm going to be adding that to it. And they're both Generation 1 figures. I mean, this is the G2 Computron, and then I've got a G2 Defensor that I've done. So
nice.
Yeah, they're both customs. So anybody out there that's wanting to get into the Generation 2 custom stuff, well, I got two prototype versions I did that I was using to sell off that I'm keeping the other ones and getting rid of these two spares I have. So
awesome. Well, Travis, for those of you, for those of the listeners who might have joined in later in the show, kind of recap some of the things that's coming up for you, and tell them about.
All right, absolutely. Quick recap: Season 3 of Antiques Alley starts this month on PBS. So check that out on Facebook, YouTube, all that jazz, and on your local PBS syndicate if you receive it. Email me, contact me any which way if you're interested in the toy auction, whether it be consigning or buying. It's going to be in the new year, either January 2nd or it's going to be on the 9th. It's in the first 2 weeks. It's through Bruno Antiques, so give us a shout. Like I said, shoot me an email or follow me on Twitter at Travis_Landry. And then we'll see. Hopefully in the next couple of months, I'll be able to talk more about a new project I got going on. I was just at Awesome Con in D.C., did a lot of fun work, and we'll see how things develop.
Sweet. Well,
I want to thank Jason for dropping in. Travis, I want to thank you again for coming by. As always, you're welcome. And Hank, good to see you back.
Thank you. It's been a while.
Yeah. Well, we availability sometimes really gets in our way, and it's understood. Also, that guy that's in Indiana, the one that's not driving right now, but the one that's sitting there with the that's just looking like, oh, he likes Creo, you know. Yeah, that gym
type guy. You don't mean me.
Yes, what? You.
Oh, it's me. Hi, me.
Check out the Creo Wiki if you're into Creo. Lots of great things on there. Yes. Headmaster Don, as always, it's a pleasure.
Always glad to be here.
Happy to be here.
I didn't say that. I just said glad to be here.
And flashing blue light, Chad Williams.
Was that a flush?
Chat. No, he drives, so yeah.
Well, I know that. I just didn't know if he was multitasking.
Trucker bomb.
Hey, with that new technology they got now where the semi drives itself,
right?
From Family Guy.
If you happen to be driving along I-70 between Indianapolis and Dayton, Ohio, about 1 o'clock in the morning, and you see a red semi truck and everything, pull up alongside of it and extend your arm and extend your middle finger as high as you can get it. It's probably Chad. So
actually, Duran, that's not a good idea because the entire city of Dayton is under construction because I drove through there for BotCon.
Oh, Lord.
And so you really don't want to be doing anything around Dayton, otherwise you're running into the lanes sort of just end. There's no signs. They just end in a concrete
barrier. It's like surprise.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that'll wrap us up this week. We'll see you. Go ahead.
Real quick, Duran, one last thing I wanted to mention in our discussion earlier about Victorion. In our TFYLP Facebook group, there is a gallery that was posted by Stuart Metcalf. For those of you who like Victorion's regular colors, if you think they're a little too garish, go through his gallery. He's actually digibashed the combiner several different ways, including Piranacon colors, Constructicon colors.
Junkion colors, I
like. Yeah, just, I mean, on and on. It's pretty interesting stuff. Just watch out for the garish bright pink, your monitor might explode.
Yeah.
There is a very pink and
purple. Wait. What are you implying?
I love the super girly colors.
Yeah. I like it. I'm sorry.
Very loud. Like even by G2 standards, it is loud.
What they should have done.
Not loud enough.
What they should have done with Victorion is color each one of the robots like different ponies and put little designs on the back of the vehicle forms, you know, kind of like a little tramp stamps that they have, you know. So,
put the fluffy tail on the back and then the mane.
You just made
accessories a big pony.
Wait a minute, Don.
I'm just going to say, please don't call them tramp stamps. That only add to the fire, to the fuel to the fire.
That's what we do on TFYLP. We fan them.
He clearly said trans stamps.
Yeah.
Transformer stamps.
Oh, well, I thought he said tramp stamps, and that just adds the wrong connotation.
But that would be perfect, though, because there's six members to the combiner. There's six main ponies, aren't there, in that cartoon? That would be perfect.
Yes.
I can tell you right now, there's already somebody that's got some digibash somewhere in some dark end of the universe that's going to do that
What they need to do is take Victorion and put googly eyes so they have the big cute, you know, just glue some googly eyes on the combiner head.
That's the G2 version. I have googly eyes.
You guys are hating on that thing, and that thing's got one of the sickest swords in the entire line.
I'm sorry.
I just want the sword. I just want the sword. If you buy it, you don't want the sword.
Tons of them gonna get bought, but they have no swords included because the sword is gone.
Yeah. Well, guys, we'll see you next time on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. I am Weird Wolf for Chad Williams, Headmaster Don, Jim Black, Hing Yip Chan, Jason Walston, Travis
Plasticon. Landry.
Well, you want people to find you on Facebook, don't you?
That too. Same thing.
Also, Megamus, Natsume Ryu, Rick Alvarez, a bunch of others. We've also got in the process of moving. We've got Tobias Granville. Man, we miss you. Also, Daniel Protoman. He's out there somewhere too. We'll see you next time on TFYLP. I'm not going to be here next week, Brett's not going to be either, so it's most likely going to be Sideburn 2 hosting. Got some great stuff in store for you. We still will be broadcasting next week, so check us out then at the normal time, 9 o'clock Eastern on YouTube. This has been TFYLP episode number 159. We'll see you next time.
Take care, bye.
TFN, that's all for now.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.